Morning, everyone. Welcome back, or welcome anew. There is a new handout, new topic. Handouts are out there on the tables in the lobby, or if you want to watch online, you can do that too. Get it off the website. Or if you're in the, get the weekly emails, it's there too. Careful. Easy, everyone. Everybody makes an entrance in their own way. We're looking at stewardship encouragement. Lord willing, for the last 3 weeks of October. October is one of those months we try to emphasize stewardship, management of God's gifts. I know we started October finishing up personal evangelism, lifestyle witnessing. The schedule kind of got a little messed up in September. I know someone asked, how come we don't finish a lesson? And I was told that we need to stay on tax, technically always having a new lesson every month or every quarter. So there's all these other things that impact that schedule, so I always try to do that in the back of my head. But I realize I failed at that too, so. So. Stewardship encouragement. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 to 4, first of all. As you're getting to 1 Corinthians 16, just going to throw out a number out there, 1 million. That's what you need to retire, okay. Start saving. What else is 1 million, significance of 1 million to us in this room? That is what our expenses, projected expenses, add up to for our ministry year 21-22. Bless you. 460,000, give or take, on the church side to operate the church. And then another 540 to operate the school side, teachers, utilities, and so forth like that. That's not counting our not without purpose, our mortgage payments and campus improvements. That's an additional 150,000. So again, God is good, enabling us to be at this point. So far, first quarter in, as Chuck noted a couple weeks ago in his talk, God is good. We're, for the most part, making it on the operating side for the church to this point, and tuition is also holding its own to this point. So a lot to be thankful for. And then not without purpose, we are making our monthly mortgage payments and then some, so that's coming down. We're under 700,000, praise the Lord, in less than 3 years. That's cut in half. And then we're making campus improvements, things that I was told it's been on the list for 20-some years. So we're chipping away at those things. And then tuition assistance fund. We are able to award over $45,000 in actual tuition assistance. So it wasn't just money written off our books as in the past. So praise the Lord for that. And our fund continues to grow. Our goal is to get that to $100,000. And then if we have to give out $50,000, we always try to be a year ahead. So we're trying to get a year ahead. We're about at $70,000 right now in that fund. So praise the Lord for the generosity he gives to us through you. So thank you for your gifts. Also, one more thing before we get into 1 Corinthians. Speaking of generosity and gifts, I forgot to do this last week. But your birthday was this week. Here we go.
One,
two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
And just for that, gifts are welcome to Not Without Purpose. First Corinthians 16, 1-4. Who has those words? Paul, you got them for us?
Yeah. Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gifts to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to do so, to go also, then they will accompany me.
All right, so what's the background here again? Do you recall? What's taking place?
The saints in Jerusalem are struggling under their oppression in Rome.
All right, so the saints in Jerusalem are struggling. Famine is taking place. And so Paul is reminding the Corinthian believers, thanks to the Jews back in the Christians back in Jerusalem, that we were sent out to proclaim the gospel. So you have an opportunity and a responsibility to show your appreciation back to those Christians in their time in need. And so that's what's taking place, a collection to help those Christians back in Jerusalem in their time of need. What good principle is given here in these verses? What good principle when it comes to giving?
When to give it.
When to give it. And that is?
First day of the week.
First day of the week, okay? In other words, what's he emphasizing with that? All right, the first fruits I mentioned, God should not come last, but first. So even if it's not done on the first day of the week, it's the point that God is given first priority, that it's not just an afterthought. And he also emphasizes, save up for that. He points out, so when that time comes for collection, it's already there. It's not I have to scrounge in the coin jar or in the bottom of the purse or whatever. So who's in charge of this offering? Well, God, ultimately. That's a safe answer, right?
Paul
and also then representatives. Because Paul didn't want it coming back on him that, you're doing something hinky with that money. So here, let's make sure that there are reliable people overseeing this gift. And we understand that. That's what we do as well, too, right? So these principles are good principles of accounting practices, right? This offering, when did it start? When technically did the offering take place? About a year ago. So what happened? They had the desire and they started the collection, but it didn't get completed. It lost its priority. And so Paul's bringing it back up to their attention. You had this desire to give, and now make sure again it goes to completion. Appoint these reliable people to make sure that it does get completed and then gets to where it needs to be for the intended purpose. So as we said, there's so many principles that still are applicable to us today, just with Not Without Purpose, for example, right? We put out there the need, we provide the opportunity, we appoint reliable people to promote it and to make sure the accounting is in good order, as well as then to spend it properly. And It is something that we get to save up for. It's not without purpose that we're going through now. As a reminder, it's a 10-year emphasis. You know, Lord willing, in 10 years, our debt is paid. Our debts can be paid off in 10 years, ideally, because that's as long as it goes. I mean, so we're under 10 years for our mortgage. But we'd like to complete it faster if we can, because then it allows us to do more sooner with the campus improvements. You know, the HVAC units and the siding and the windows and the patio and everything else all needs to be done. So it's a 10-year effort we get to think about, we get to save aside money for. It's not just gifts of immediate cash, right? And we'll get into that more. There's other ways that we can help fund, for example, Not Without Purpose. So these principles still apply. First fruits, reliable people, good accounting. 2 Corinthians 8. Let's look at verses 1 to 5 first of all. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 5. Look at what's encouraged, Greg.
And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up with rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier in the beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Keep going.
Oh, we can stop there. Thanks. All right, so what could have made giving very difficult for the Christians in Macedonia?
They were poor.
Okay, so they could use that as an excuse. We don't have anything to give. There's lint coming out of our pockets. But they didn't. They gave more than anticipated, more than expected. And now again, Paul had visited them on his second journey. So he recognizes not only are they poor, but also the persecution that is taking place amongst them. So that could have made their giving difficult. Yet how is their giving described? Paul touched on it. Sacrificial. What other terms?
They begged to give more. We want to do more. They were overflowing. They were generous. They were single-minded. We have this mission. We want to help. And we're going to do what we can to help. And so joy, it was welled up inside them. So what made it possible for them to give like this?
The dedication of Christ possible. They were dedicated. They did it out of love, not out of need, but they did it because they wanted to.
They're dedicated to Christ. They did it because they wanted to, not because they had to. It goes back to verse 1. The key word there, which also applies to us, part of the Reformation theme, grace. Because of the grace of God, that love of God shown in their life, they wanted to respond in this way and share that grace of God with others. Philippians 4, keep a finger there in 2 Corinthians 8, you're going to come back to it. Philippians 4, verses 16 to 18. Philippians 4, 16 to 18. Donna?
You sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account.
All right, so how else is their
giving described? How did Paul describe it there in Philippians?
Fragrant offering.
Yeah, fragrant offering.
Again, Paul didn't ask for it. More than enough. Over and over again. Without his asking, but they gave because, again, it goes back to God's grace. So we have an example of their giving motivated by grace, seeing it as a privilege. All right, back to 2 Corinthians 8. In what three ways does Paul describe the remarkable nature of their giving? Verse 3.
Just a reminder again of that.
As much as they were able, beyond their ability, as we said before, on their own, they wanted to do this. Verse 4 emphasizes. Pleaded for the privilege. Let us share in this. Again, they weren't compelled. They weren't forced. Paul didn't ask for their W-2s and say, okay, 10% automatically is going. Verse 5.
Exceeding expectations.
All right. And what else? There's a couple other.
Yeah, he gave themselves to the Lord.
In keeping with God's will, we want to do this. Giving themselves to the Lord. So there's the motive again, too. In view of God's mercy, Romans 12 emphasizes, in view of God's mercy, or here in verse 1, the grace of God. As we focus in on that grace of God and his mercy, that moves us to want to respond. And so then we go back to God's word, as these believers did, and say, how can we respond? How can we show our appreciation? Agree or disagree? It's not on your sheet. Agree or disagree? Christian giving is not an external matter. It's a way to worship God with our offerings. Christian giving is not an external matter. It is a way to worship God with our offerings. Agree or disagree?
St. Paul compares the giving to the sacrifices in the Old Testament.
Okay, yep.
So it's a form of worship.
It is a form of worship, right? Yeah, he connects the Old Testament sacrifices with the giving. Yes, good. So because too often, right, we look at giving as something external only. But it is a form of worship. That's why it's included in our worship service as well. It's a gift to the Lord. And again, those aren't pats in the back offerings. And these are thank offering gifts. Because we can never give enough to God to say thank you for everything he's done for us. But it's a token of our appreciation of what he's done for us. Yes?
In Philippians, when it said being held to your, you know, you're just being held to your credit, it almost sounds like God's being cracking you up and give so much.
Now, Paul was just saying this, this gives further evidence of the fact that you are his people. Because you have this desire to give and you carry out that desire through amply through these gifts. So he's just saying, if your account was to be credited, you know, this definitely would add to it. But it does give credibility to them. Like James would say, faith without works is dead. You say you have faith. Well, how do the people around you know? And so they were giving evidence of, yes, we do have faith and we're putting our money where our mouth is, where our faith is. That's why he's... Yeah, good.
Were the Macedonian Christians mostly Jewish or were Gentile?
Gentile.
There'd be a mix, though, but more Gentile. Yes.
There's some people in this congregation who just don't have money. There's one person who sent me two cards for my surgery, and that's really good. But he said, I have to have it again in January. And this person wants me to give this card back. So
that would be me.
I mean, some people don't have the financial means, in a sense, right? So again, that's why the Lord doesn't ask of what he doesn't provide. And we're going to get into that percentage giving. You know, we do this with the children. We've probably, you know, said this before. If you're cutting the lawn at $25 a lawn, and it takes you 10 minutes to mow it, so that's a pretty good rate. You know, 10% of $25. You know, you put 10% into savings, and 10% you give to, you know, that's the church. Put that in your church savings. What do you got left? You still got $20 left. I mean, that adds up. So, you know, again, can we use that as an excuse? They didn't use that as an excuse. But are there other ways to give outside of money? Sure. Again, more often when we hear the word stewardship, what do we automatically equate with? Money. But stewardship really is everything, our whole entire life. Money is one aspect of it. It's an important aspect because, like Luther said, the last part of the Christian to be converted is his wallet. Right? Because we sit on it. It's mine. Lord, you can't have it. Well, who gave it to you in the first place? And if you don't give it to the Lord willingly, he's going to get it in a different way. Higher taxes?
Like we're talking about percentage giving, but like Jesus and the widow who gave everything back, I said, that's really hard to comprehend. I mean, it'd be like saying, give everything you got.
The attitude.
Right. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we go forward. But again, right for now, it's the attitude behind the giving. You know, same with that widow's mite. It was her attitude. Where the other people who had the means, just careless. It was for them. It was an external matter. I'm just meeting my obligation. And again, here too, we can be. I know people from other church bodies where they have to show their W-2 and then give a percent. You know, they'll talk about, or from the old days, they'll talk about their church dues. And they'll say, you know, my job changed. I'm not going to be able to fulfill my dues. Is the church going to be okay? Am I going to be a member yet? Yeah. You know, but that gets so ingrained. I mean, the human beings do such a disservice to fellow human beings. Good intentions, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so here you got to re-educate that person. We shouldn't be forced to give. And circumstances do change. The Lord knows that. And they may change for the better. You know, so we have to, you know, again, you could do a commitment and say, I'm going to give X amount of dollars. And the Lord blesses you with huge bonuses. Well, but I only committed to give X amount. The Lord gave you the means to do more. But he may take back the means too. So that's where the percentage comes in. To your point, attitude and percentage.
I think financial giving has become more important as time goes on. Prior to this, many times, time and talent was there because people didn't have the money if they were able to give food or they were able to do work. Now we've kind of gone over and financial is probably 80% of what people think of it, and the other is 20, where it was much more 50% or less often.
And there is financial means are more available today in some respects. And time has become precious. You know, technology is supposed to give us more time. Actually, it's chewed up more time. And so volunteers have said it's easier to just give some money and keep doing what I need to do with my life. So yeah, there's just those circumstances have changed.
I was just going to say, I think we have to, in the back of our mind, feel that if it came to all or nothing, you have to give it all. You have no choice. If it came to that,
yeah,
your money or your life, that's all.
Yeah, if it came to that, your money or your life, and that kind of goes with the whole Ananias and Sapphira. You know, we promised to give you everything, and yet they held back. The Lord knows. What he gives. And there again, like I said, the Lord's going to get it one way or another. He gives us the opportunity to give it generously, or he'll get it in a way that we grumble at. Like I said, taxes, medical bills, you name it, other things.
Well, I just think that if you it talks about the first fruits, and if you go to that and you hang on to the first fruits, you'd be surprised and amazed at what you can do with the remainder.
Exactly.
It always blows me away when people go, well, I got to do this first, and then what I have left over, then I'll get it. But he's not talking about the second. He's talking about the first. He's talking about the most important.
Right.
And it's amazing. I mean, sometimes if you live with, years ago, we lived from, you know, paycheck to paycheck. And, well, I think I kind of do that well. Anyway, but anyhow, you'd be surprised on what's more important to you. And what you can do with that, what's left, is amazing.
It does become a matter of priority, right? Reflecting where your priorities are. Same with worship, attending worship. Is God important to you or not? If he is, you're going to make the time to attend worship. Now, the Lord knows there's things that get in the way sometimes of that, legitimately. Same with giving. It's a priority. If you're going to show that through your giving of your time, talent, and treasure. It's not the amount. You know, well, we'll get into that in a little bit. So, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 to 4. Just as a side note, who brought 1 Corinthians to Corinth? Who brought that letter? Who brought 1 Corinthians to Corinth? Pardon? He's the writer, but who delivered it? Yeah. Does it say? Ultimately, gotta do some research. Titus is the one. I just provided the question. I'll give you the answer. All right. That was just a side note in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 to 4 again. Why is Paul certain that the Corinthians will now complete the gathering of this offering?
Because of their faithfulness,
all right? They were excelling in other areas of their life too, right? So it was natural then to complete their response in the offering. Why does Paul say, I'm not commanding you? Okay. Can you demand fruit trees to give fruit? What do you do? Yeah, fertilize them, nurture them, and so forth. So that's what Paul is doing too. He's nurturing them. The gospel's already given you what you need, and now Paul's nurturing that gospel so that they are willing participants rather than forced participants. Now, I should have said this, I got a little distracted. We're going back between 1 Corinthians 16 and also 2 Corinthians 8. So, sorry. Yes?
Examples of those would be when we had the presentation by working with the Mormon church.
Right.
That's an not with the church, with the Mormons, encouraging right. members to give, to support that one.
Right.
And press others like that.
Right.
Support.
Right, there are so many ways to support, right? And there's only so much that we can do. I know another Christian has made the comment too, you might get 10 solicitations in the mail, all legitimate ministry opportunities, but you may not be in a position to do all 10. So his point was, I picked two, you know, that means something to me, and go that way. But then there are other people who say, I'm going to put a little bit in each of 10. That's fine. You know, what works for one may not work for the other. bottom line is you see an opportunity to get the gospel out there, and Lord, what can I do to help? And then we need to be careful too, because right there are people who will come to your door and say, well, I know it, you can give $25, but just think of the Christian you could be if you gave $5,000. And that $5,000 was your mortgage payment for 2 months or 3 years.
We all get things in the mail from everybody.
Yeah.
And police associations and support like that, that's fine, but where do you draw the line between your giving as a Christian to the secular side of society?
Yeah, and in that pool of charitable giving is not just the church itself, but also society. And there are things, St. Jude Hospital and so forth, that does great work, benefits people in society. That can be part of that charitable giving too. And some what's going to rise to the top is if it has significance. If you've been impacted by that, or a loved one's been impacted by St. Jude, what they do, you're going to want to support that. And so hopefully you're in a position, it's not an either or, it's a both and.
You can look at the Corinthians, just sort of the U.S. they were doing quite well, and they were, you know, making money. Charity became the second agent to their business. They provide a lot of money. And I think a lot of us, we get a lot too.
Sure, right? I mean, charitable giving is, in a sense, somewhat down overall. I mean, people want to give when there's a need, but why does it take a need? So we try to get away from that too, of what's necessary is our need. Well, just give from the heart. And if there's more there, there's more to do. You know, but if we just fixate on the need, then are we focused more on, oh, we met this goal, rather than let's try to go beyond the goal. I mean, the need, it becomes a benchmark just for good stewardship practices. We need that. But that shouldn't be the be-all, end-all.
Did you have your hand up?
There's one church in Denver, a large church, that takes care of all that. And if you're an employee of the church, you have to give 10%. They don't give 10%. Just one.
That's between me and the Lord.
Well, I think how you give reflects your dedication, should reflect your dedication to Christ. No matter how you do it, you know, the how is important, you know, how you do it, but it always needs to reflect your dedication to Christ. That's
all right, so your giving should reflect your dedication to Christ. How you do it, not just financial, time. I mean, push back a little bit on that? A little pushback on that? Are you saying that the only acceptable work in God's eyes is associated with the church? But it is our love for Christ that wants to compel us to give our time, talent, and treasure for the gospel as well as for society, right?
I think that's what he meant, but he bumped his head the other day.
So. No, that's fine. Just clarifying that. Because I figured that's where you were going for it, knowing you. But we want to be careful to say that what's done for the church is better than what's done for society. It's not an either or. But it goes back to the motivation behind what we do in any case.
But it's all out of the heart. It's from the heart.
It's got to be from the heart.
So, and that's all motivated by what Christ has done for you.
Right.
You know, so you're just responding to what Christ has
done. Now, you and I get that, right? We respond out of love for Christ. Society, again, they give for various reasons. Tax write-offs. For some, it's ego. For some, they just have a spirit of generosity, I know. But again, when Joe dies and he built this beautiful facility for Sacramento, well, Joe never stepped foot in church, was an atheist. But how could God keep Joe out of heaven Because look at all that money he invested in Sacramento. Right? So to your point is it's got to be from the heart. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Thankfully, there is civic righteousness. Thankfully, there is generosity in society that doesn't get us to heaven. And same with the Christian. We're not generous because it's going to get us into heaven. We're generous because heaven's already been given to us, which is your point. And that's the point. If we reflect on the generosity that we have been given, we want to give generously as we are able in a variety of ways. We want to worship him. We want to give him praise. But it really goes back to the first three commandments. I mean, God is first priority in life. And then we reflect that by how we use his name and how we worship him and treat his word. If we're not treating his word as a priority, then the rest of the things in life aren't going to be a priority either.
What we get out of it, that has no bearing on our dedication to Christ, because he's given us everything.
Right.
We're just responding. We're just returning.
Right.
What God has blessed us with, no matter how little or how much.
Right, and there's the danger of all the fundraising, a little off topic, the little dangers of the fundraising. You know, we do a pancake breakfast. Well, I give, and then I get pancakes. Or I do a rummage sale. I get something in return. So again, unintentional consequences.
Well, you've got to be very careful with that.
Right. I mean, even with script, there's a fine line. Script is good stewardship. Right. Because, again, if I'm spending money on groceries and gas, why not? If this means is there, it's. But if I'm using it as a replacement for my offerings, well, then I get, that's another matter. And that's what we want to guard against, too. It's not a replacement for offerings. It's taking what we do every day and finding a way to benefit the school, in a sense, with assistance.
I look at some of these mega churches that are taking the money and buying corporate jets and other things. I don't see what that's doing. I don't know. Maybe it is going to help, but I mean, I don't see where they're going to, you know, it's going to benefit the majority. There's a few small groups that are doing. That's where some people think, oh, you're asking as a church. They look at those that you hear on the news. They don't see what the smaller churches are doing to help.
No, there's no doubt that, again, human beings, institutions, make a bad name for God in the right way. Even doing festivals and so forth, you know, you preach against drunkenness, and yet you have a festival that promotes drunkenness. So you can meet your budget. So is there a wonder why society, in a sense, is turned off of the church? Or, you know, you think of years ago, too, we had the shame list. You know, we'd publish everybody's giving at the end of the year. Well, Ed doesn't want to be behind Steve, so Ed gives a little bit more. Was that faithful first fruit giving, or was that ego? You know, you know, some churches will pass the plate twice. It wasn't full enough, so we're going to do it twice. You know. I mean, so again, you could say good intentions, but they were not. Yes. I don't know. Do I get an idea from talking to people? But I don't know the exact numbers.
He knows enough that if you have enough that they would pay itself.
Some people will, you know, will share. But no, you know, again, could that be, I'm not saying for that, but could you say, hey, thank you, I know you made a commitment, thank you for that commitment, doesn't mean I know what the commitment is. Yeah. But no, I agree, that's between the Lord and. Now, just on that note, but, we do general reports that basically say, you know, we want to make sure our giving is not just dependent on one person. I mean, because if it is, we want to keep that person alive. Now, I'm just cheek, tongue in cheek, right? But, I mean, you want to make sure you have a solid foundation for ministry planning. I mean, again, we have this ministry plan, but we also, how it connects to the ministry financial plan. So we will look at our reports and say, you know, where are our giving units? Because that's happened to a church in a different state where there was one person who was giving 60% of the offerings, and she passed away. And at the end of the year, they're going, how come we're short? Well, so-and-so passed away. Oh. Hey, so you just, those are good principles you want to at least be aware of, but you don't need to know what she gave. You just want to be aware of it. And the Lord provides, thankfully. Sometimes we think, oh, how are we going to survive? They, you know, those people moved away, and I know they were generous givers. And all of a sudden, you're excelling in giving. I mean, the Lord provides, thankfully.
Way back in the 40s, that Missouri City Church that we were belonging to published everybody's giving one year. But they didn't do it the second year.
Yeah.
Because people went home. What did Mr. Smith
say? Sure.
Did the Jones, and they compared. It was not fun.
I just have to ask. That's something you heard, right?
Oh,
you didn't have to admit that. No, but that's true, right? That old shame list, we called it, yeah.
Maybe he just meant, I thank you for giving a new commitment. Not in some churches, it's a tithe, 5%, 10%, whatever. Thank you for your commitment. That's one thing now.
Right.
But if he knows, yeah, it's another story.
Exactly.
But I think we'd be failing in this study of stewardship without mentioning the priority of mission giving. This is what Paul's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking funds from the churches and supporting missions, which is people that can't support themselves. And I think mission offerings is the highest priority in the church to support missions.
Well, and again, Paul Wesley, he was supporting missions with those dollars, but he was also assisting, meeting a physical need. There was a famine in the land, and so here's a way to provide financial assistance to buy food for those people. Right, and so we do humanitarian aid mission work. You know, that's some of the ways we can get into a country. So we show first fruits love that way, with the goal of sharing the gospel with people. And so our acts of compassion are also gospel ministry. And we'll build on that. So there's some great principles laid out for us in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians 8. And we'll build off of those principles with some applications, Lord willing, next week. Good talk. I mean, again, it all centers on God's grace. His grace, which is evident to us through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who became poor that we might become rich. So we are wealthy in the best way, even though our bank account may not be. That's immaterial. But to help that bank account, God also has good principles for us to practice. So God bless you with his grace, his evidence of it more and more this week, and help you be his good managers of his gifts. Thank you.